This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
It's California Boogie by Howlin' Wolf. A little Memphis meets California music for a Memphis meets California basketball game tonight.
Lakers in town. We'll talk about that in a moment. Before I did get to that, the news yesterday was that Brendan Brown, son of Hubie Brown, who served as a Memphis assistant while he was here, tragically died at a young age, in his 40s, I think, over the weekend. And I know, I don't know what your memories were of Brendan while he was here, but I know you would chat with him occasionally over the years. I don't know your thoughts on Brendan Brown.
So I started writing about the Grizzlies the second season the team was in town, which I guess was Hubie's first year. Is that right? Or was that Hubie's? Trying to remember. He did not coach at all the first season.
Right. He was fired at the – they made the change at the beginning of the second season.
Right. So the second season is the first year I wrote about the Grizzlies. Brendan Brown was assistant coach on Hubie's staff. And I was someone who, like, you know, long-time listeners will know or whatever, but, like, I'd never written about sports before. I was the music and film editor of the Alt Weekly in town. Like, I started writing about basketball. There was no reason for anyone to pay any attention to me or read what I wrote, because who cares what the music critic at the Alt Weekly says about the basketball team. And Brendan Brown was, I think, the first person, you know, Tom Penn, Tony Baroni Jr. too, but I think Brendan was the first person in the organization who sort of, like, basically let me know they were reading, which I appreciated, because it didn't occur to me anyone with the team would be reading. And so he was good, but he was not like a source of mine or anything like that. But he just would let me know, like, hey, I read your stuff's good. And, you know, which I really appreciated. And then later on, after, you know, he was out of the organization, he was a broadcaster for the Knicks. He would come back to town, and I would see him, you know, pretty much every time he was back in town, I'd see him in the media dining room or whatever. And we would chat and, you know, we followed, or whatever the language is, each other on Facebook. And I would notice, like, even up till recently, like, when I would post, like, my Grizzly stuff on the Facebook page, just, like, he'd be one of the people who would like it or whatever. And so, you know, I didn't have a deep relationship with him, but I had a friendly relationship with him, and he was supportive of me, which I appreciated. And, you know, it's sad to see anyone, you know, pass that early and that unexpectedly, but definitely feel bad for the whole Brown family.
Yeah, I feel bad for Hubie and the whole Brown family. I think his wife died over the summer, and then to lose a son is really, really tough. I can only imagine it's tough. I just appreciated how much Brendan, like, he really threw himself into this enterprise. Obviously, he was here with his dad and whatnot, and then he sort of became the center of controversy here. He was part of the messy way it ended involved him as well, but he just was super enthusiastic about being in Memphis and about the Grizzlies, and I always appreciated his openness. So I'm sorry to see him pass. Tonight we got the Lakers in town. The good news, I guess, is that Luke Kennard is questionable, and that's good, right?
Questionable historically means the player will likely play, not 100%, but what it typically means is we're expecting him to play, but we're going to go through the shoot around and see how it feels and make a final decision like at game time or whatever. And so I would put odds pretty high that Luke Kennard will play. He jumps right over the doubtful, you know, on ramp. And you know, I think they could use him. He's the best or second best pure shooter on the roster. And they only got like 9 guys they can play right now. And so welcome back Luke Kennard. I would, you know, the way the Grizzlies operate, I doubt he's going to play 30 minutes or whatever, but right. I assume we'll see him tonight.
Yeah. You had the piece 2 days ago or yesterday, whenever it was, about how the folks down the roster have been doing good work. But it's a lot to expect them to carry this team. I asked Jeffrey this. Again, maybe there's no answer. Maybe it hasn't changed demonstrably one way or another. Do you feel better or worse about the Grizzlies relative to how you felt on the eve of the season?
I feel a little bit better about what they can be than I did actually before the season. In terms of whether they will get, it's sort of a weird thing. I think they've taken some losses that they didn't necessarily have to take. So I don't love the 4-4 like starting point at this point when you're thinking about what the wins are going to be at the end of the season. And obviously they already got some guys injured and there's uncertainty about that. But in terms of my sense of what this team will be if and when they are intact, I think my feelings are higher on that. I think, you know, I think Ja, Jared, Dennis are all terrific, like if they're healthy. I think Edie is... We have avoided what could have been the worst case scenario. The like maybe everyone was right. This guy can't play. Like we've totally avoided that, and because even at his worst, he can play, and he's had this monster game, and you can see how this he can get better over the course of the season. And I think the depth, like the deep depth, which they're having to use now, you hope they don't have to use all season, but I think the returns are good on that. That they can get by. They can go deep into their roster and can still be competitive, which they have been. And so I think if they can get, you know, they can get a quorum, they can get the big three and then like, you know, half of the rest, I think they're going to be really good.
It's pretty much the exact answer I gave. Short term, of course, I don't feel as good about it because not only do they have the losses that they've incurred, which may come back to bite them in the end, they still have more weeks to endure before the player, you know, before Dez comes back. I didn't anticipate that. And so there may be more losses that I didn't want to see along the way. Long term, they have, I like the way you put it. They've avoided the worst case with Zach Edey. And I do think that the best case is imaginable. I mean, it's I don't know if it's more or less imaginable, but it is absolutely as imaginable, particularly coming off of that for the game we just saw, as it was at the beginning of the season, right? We've now actually seen some evidence of it. So, and then the deep depth, both at the margins with the two-way guys, but then to discover another Jalen Wells is kind of amazing.
Yeah. When you get down to like the very bottom of the 15-man roster, and you got Jalen Wells and Scottie Pippen, sorry, not in the bottom of it anymore, but he was on a two-way when training camp started. And so he was like the 14th guy added to the mix or whatever. And so when you get down to the bottom of the roster and it's Jalen Wells, Scottie Pippen, Jay Huff, like those guys can all play. Those guys can all play in real games.
The challenge is, as you have been saying now, whatever, there was a window that was once 3 years that is now 2 years,
yep.
Right? And so, yeah, I feel great about the roster, the pieces, all of this, but we got to see it. Like, the time is running out to see it all. It's great to continue.
Well, this is something that's sort of in the back of my mind, and now is not the time to write about it. We can sneak preview on the radio, but it may be later in the season to really get into it. I think, you know, a detour, they went on a detour that was not of their making organizationally, right, with the injuries and the Ja stuff. And so to me, this season is about getting back on the main road. And I think they're not totally there yet because they're still missing all these guys, but I feel good that they're going to get back to the main road. But let's say you get back to the main road, like the road may not have that much longer, like on it, right? And so I'm concern is too strong, but I'm sort of, in the back of my head, I'm keeping an eye on, like, how serious are we going to get, right? I think already they've shown that they're just not going to pay the tax. And that's one mark against seriousness. But they do have all these future first-round picks. They've got some tradable contracts. Are they willing even though they have good depth all the way to the bottom, it's still young. It's like they just keep being young. And at some point, you got to stop being young, right? And I just wonder whether it's this season or it's going to be into the summer going into the next season, is there going to be, and all in's not the right term, because I think they got the three guys they're trying to win with, but are you going to really try to bolster that with real some real veteran depth at some point, some real veteran impact kind of players? And they've tried to do that with Marcus Smart and Luke Kennard.
Right.
But if those guys aren't the guys, are you willing to go out and try to get some other guy that's going to be the guy? I'm sort of wondering about that.
Do you think you put it so, A, but casually and also bluntly, they're just not going to pay the tax? Is that what you believe?
This season. I'm not saying forever, but this season, everything based on how they've operated tells me they're just not going to do that this season. And I did hear, I didn't have a number, but I heard it was some podcast, maybe like the Brian Windhorst, but I heard Bobby Marks said that he has heard that the estimate for the payout, people think about the tax in terms of what you have to pay. The bigger thing is the payout you don't get. And Bobby Marks said on a pod recently that the payout is estimated to be over $18 million this season.
Right.
And given that their local TV contract is not what it used to be, and I just, you know, no one in the organization has said this, and they won't say this, but that is now my operating assumption.
All right, Lakers tonight. Anthony Davis also questionable, and Jeffrey and I don't know, we think with a big man, foot issues, you just can't be too careful. And
I agree, man. Yeah, if you send him this game, you get like a good 3 or 4 days rest.
That's right.
You know, he's been on this long road trip. Like he really needs to rest up.
You got to think big picture, Lakers, because he's obviously been fantastic. But beyond that, what do you make of their roster? Dalton Knecht, by the way, is off to a reasonable start. I don't know if you paid much attention to him. Thoughts on
he had like one particularly like good game. Yep. But I think he scored a lot in garbage time. He's been okay. The thing about that Lakers team, it's sort of the inverse of the Grizzlies depth wise. I think their back half of their roster depth is not particularly good or functional at all. But they don't have good depth, but they've had it all. Like if you look at the Grizzlies like player stats, you'll see like, you know, 15 guys or whatever have played, and it's just sort of all over the place. With the Lakers, they've only 11 players have seen the floor, and two of those haven't really because one of them's Bronny James or whatever. So they've basically had their full rotation every single game this season.
They also,
by the way,
in terms of this minutes thing, aging roster, here's the minutes. Anthony Davis is averaging 36.3, LeBron 34.9, Austin Reeves 35.1, Rui Hachimura 34.1, D'Angelo Russell, 31.3. I wonder if all five of their starters are averaging more minutes than any. Maybe not. Like Santi, or who's leading the Grizzlies in minutes?
Santi is. Yeah. At least total minutes, Santi is.
But they got four guys averaging more than 34 minutes. Do the Grizzlies have one?
No, Grizzlies don't have any. Not even remotely.
Grizzlies,
I don't know if they have anyone averaging. I don't think the Grizzlies have anyone averaging 30.
Correct. Santi is averaging the most at 29.8.
Oh my God.
Then Ja Morant at 28.3. Jaren Jackson Jr. at 27.5. Dez at 26.4. Laravia 26.3.
All five of their starters are averaging more minutes than any of the Grizzlies' five starters.
Now, I do think in this particular example, because of the Lakers' poor depth and because of the age of their starters, as you indicated, mm-hmm. I do think in this particular example, the long game is going to favor the Grizzlies in the regular season. Like, I don't know if that's going to be true relative to some other teams, like, you know, Dallas or Minnesota or whatever. But I think relative to the Lakers, I think, you know, they had a couple really good wins to start the season, and then everyone, all the ESPN stories where Lakers are back, you know, or Lakers a title contender or whatever. And if you have those two dudes in a playoff series, like, you know, all bets are off. But for the regular season, I'm not a big believer in this Lakers team sustaining their start.
All right. You do a film roundup every single week, and it is up at the Daily Memphian. There's a film which has been very well regarded, and it sounds like you've seen it, Enora.
Yeah, we're entering the territory of the year.
He's gone. And we'll endeavor to get Chris Harrington back here in a moment. We'll talk to Chris in a moment. That is incredible. And I'm not sure it's smart on the Lakers' part that they are playing these aging starters these heavy minutes. It may come back to bite them. Weirdly enough, the Grizzlies paying their starters such light minutes may come back to bite them because they have L's that they have accumulated that will come back to bite them at the end of the year. This may come back to bite the Lakers. Anyway, Chris, you said we're entering the point of the year where, and then you were gone.
Where I'm going to be able to have more access to things before they open, which was sort of my desire anyway.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of harder in other parts of the season, but now we're entering sort of the awards territory where, you know, either I'm going to be able to see things earlier because I'll see them in a different city, or I'll have access to advanced screeners as a quasi-working film critic. And so, yeah, it's definitely better that way. And this is one of those weeks, and this movie, Anora, is opening in Memphis on Friday. It won the Cannes Film Festival this summer, and it's also being touted as an Oscar Best Picture contender, and it's probably my favorite movie I've seen this year.
Give us the gist.
So it has been, and the guy who made it like says, and I believe him, that he was like halfway through making the movie before it occurred to him that people would make this comparison, like it's not intentional. But it's been compared as, it's been described as almost kind of a remake of Pretty Woman, in that it's a similar premise. It is a rich guy hires a prostitute and then they fall in love kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same sort of basic story. The way that story is handled and where it goes is very different than the Julia Roberts movie from 1989 or whatever. It's directed by this guy, Sean Baker, who I think is one of the most interesting filmmakers that we have. He tends to operate on the margins, but he's slowly been becoming more mainstream. He did a movie a few years ago called The Florida Project, where Willem Dafoe got a Best Supporting Actor nomination for that. And so to see a guy like this, who's, I mean, his best movie to this point was made on iPhones, this movie called Tangerine.
Right.
To see a guy like this become this mainstream in a way that he's not compromised the way he makes movies, I think is kind of exciting. And this movie, I think, is really, really good. Be forewarned, there's nudity, there's other stuff. This is not like your PG-13 fairy tale Pretty Woman. This is more like real world stuff.
Right.
But I think
I'm just going to guess it doesn't have a happy ending either. That's the other thing. It doesn't seem like I've read. I would say
the ending's more ambiguous. Okay. The ending is more ambiguous.
All right. The other one that I want to ask you about, it doesn't seem like you didn't sound like from your the piece that you had seen this, is Blitz. Is Blitz?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I was hoping I would have access to that before, but I did not. It opened in Memphis earlier than I expected it to. It's directed by this British director, Steve McQueen, whose best known movies were actually been set in America. He did 12 Years a Slave, which I think won Best Picture. He did this thriller, Widows, a few years ago. But this is a British film, and it is about the London Blitz during World War II, where, you know, the Germans bombed London and people were hiding in the subways or whatever. And it stars Saoirse Ronan, and she's a mother who's separated from her son, and they're trying to find each other amid this historical setting. And as I gather, they use that sort of plot structure as a way for them to encounter other people in London along the way and for it to be sort of a portrait of London during the war.
I got you. All right, Chris. I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. All right. We're going to talk to Sam Hardiman next about what's going on in the city. We have Sam every Wednesday, and so we'll talk to him about what's going in the city. Before then, I will tell you, we got Bengals-Ravens tomorrow. That's a pretty tasty Thursday night game.
Yes, it's so good it shouldn't be on Thursday night.
It is so good it shouldn't be on Thursday night. Really tasty Thursday night game. You can get in on the action over at FanDuel. If you bet $150, if you bet $5, you don't have to bet the $150. You bet $5, and then you win $150. If your first $5 bet wins, you get the $150. Cha-ching in your account, which you can then bet on whatever you like. So assemble your own same game parlay. For that game, Bengals at Ravens, I'm just going to guess Joe Burrow lights it up because the Ravens secondary is no great. And you know what? The Ravens are going to light it up too. That's because the Bengals defense should has
be
been just god-awful. So it should be an overnight. Anyway, You can bet on it over at FanDuel. And again, first $5 bet wins, you get $150 in bonus bets if you are a new customer. Just go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. First online real money wager only, $5 first deposit required. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on Jeff Calkins Show, joined by Sam Hardiman. Sam Hardiman writes for the Daily Memphian about the city. He joins me now. Sam, did you all have pizza in the, did you have pizza last night as you were covering the election?
We had tacos, Jeff.
You had tacos? Really? That's un-American. Like, we should have pizza.
Why? Who are you to say what's American and what's not? First of all,
no, you're exactly right. Where did they come from? Where did the tacos come from? You're gone, Sam. Sam's gone. He's driving somewhere. We're going to try to.
No, I'm here.
Oh,
can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Our office in Clark Tower is not great in terms of service, and so I'm going to blame the office. But
I see.
Sounds like you're calling Swankies un-American. To be quite honest with me.
You went to Swankies. You had Swankies tacos at the Daily Memphian last night. I also saw, by the way, there was a cake. There was a cake involved somehow. Yes, was that yesterday as well?
That was yesterday. That was a contemporary picture. Yes,
and
that I posted on Twitter.
What was the occasion for the cake at the Daily Memphian yesterday?
Well, we have the great Bill Dries who covers politics for us, and I mean Bill's just awesome. He's a great guy. He's been doing it for 40 years. And since the Daily Memphian started, Bill had crossed the 3,600 story threshold, which is just an insane amount of productivity. And that is more hits than his childhood hero, Sam Musial, had for the St. Louis Cardinals. So we thought we would be fit to on Election Day to commemorate that occasion.
More than 3,600 stories for the Daily Memphian. That's preposterous. That's absolutely preposterous. But congratulations to Bill Dries. And for all you folks out there, subscribe to the Daily Memphian. You can read Sam, you can read Bill, and all the rest. All right, we had an election last night, and in Memphis, let's see. Among the things that Memphians voted for is it now appears the mayoral election will be different going forward because we will have runoffs and we'll also have a residency requirement. Is that right?
That is correct. There is time between 2027 and now, which is when the next mayoral election takes place. So it is very likely we will have runoffs and we will have a residency requirement. That is correct.
Very likely. Why the caveat?
Yeah. With the caveat that just like there's time between now and 2027 and things are subject to all sorts of legal challenges. And so it could very much change.
Really? What would be, I'm literally just totally ignorant to this. What could, is there a potential legal a challenge to either of those, to the runoff elections or to the residency?
There's a potential, I don't know of one. I'm not trying to speak one into existence. That's not my job, but anytime you start to get runoffs involved here, there's a chance that some group may say that they are not being represented.
In that runoff. I see. And, I got it. Yep.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yep.
Okay. So that is reasonably significant. And then we also have the three gun referenda passed overwhelmingly. Is that right?
But it was quite the show. Yes, it was. Yep.
80-20, basically, on all three.
Yep.
And what will the impact of this be?
Zero. Nothing has changed regarding the regulation of guns in Memphis, Tennessee. These are essentially words in the city charter that have been put there by voters. But nothing has changed. The city of Memphis is precluded by state law from regulating firearms, and they have admitted this in court. There is going to be no effort to enforce these referendums that took place last night, but it is maybe the first step in a process if someday the state of Tennessee were to allow municipalities to carve themselves out of the state's open carry laws or implement regional state storage or something like that. This would be a first step in the city heading down that road in some distant future.
And can they, in the meantime, what do they do? They set up some theoretical law, waiting for some trigger law? How does this work?
Yeah, they could essentially, yes, put a new ordinance on the books that says, hey, if ever allowed to, this law would take effect. Yes, exactly.
Okay. And then, but obviously the people who wanted this understood, they're not morons, they understood it wasn't going to actually change the laws in Memphis today or tomorrow or the next day. They wanted to send a statement to the world and to Nashville about what the people of Memphis want. I suspect from that perspective, 80 to 20, I would imagine, serves that purpose.
I think it's very clear. The only thing I will say is, like, there is significant drop off as you go down the ballot, right? A lot more people voted for president in Memphis and Shelby County than they voted on these referendums. And so this 80 to 20, while very clear, it doesn't reflect even all of people who voted yesterday. I talked to voters who said, didn't know what that was, so I skipped it. You know, like, right, when I was out talking to voters yesterday. So, like, definitely definitive, very clear, but this isn't all of Memphis, and they did not feel, many people also understand it.
What else was significant yesterday from a local perspective?
What's significant from a state legislature perspective is John Gillespie, a state Republican, who is in the state house, House District 97. He retained his seat despite a very spirited challenge from businessman Jesse Husef. He won by about 1,000 votes, Gillespie did. He outperformed, and this isn't surprising, he's historically done this. He did it in 2020 in a slightly different drawn district, but he outperformed now President-elect Donald Trump. So there are precincts, for example, that Husef, his opponent, won 55-45 in the city of Memphis along the Poplar Corridor, but Kamala Harris won 66-33. Right? And so just a very clear, people were split ticketing in Memphis, Tennessee when it came to legislative races last night.
All right. And then obviously Marsha Blackburn wins again on the statewide level. That was certainly expected. And she did. Tennessee went for, like most of the rest of the country, for Donald Trump. All right. There was one other story I wanted to ask you about, and it was last week, I think, that it dropped, and this was Liberty Park. The Liberty Park tourism zone, not necessarily going brilliantly. What did you report? And tell us the backdrop for that story.
Yeah, so the backdrop of this is, as I think people know, at Liberty Park, there is the Memphis Sports and Events Center, which is a lovely built youth sports facility the city of Memphis built starting in 2021. Cost it with principal and interest, it's going to cost taxpayers about $100 million. So we thought the problem is that the debt on that project is paid for what is known as the Liberty Park Tourism Development Zone. So if you take Liberty Park, the former Mid-South Fairgrounds, and you draw a 3-mile square mile district essentially around Liberty Park that includes Broad Avenue Arts District, gets all the way up there, gets all the way up to Crosstown, goes through Midtown and Overton Square into Cooper Young to the park, wow, essentially. There, it's designed to capture sales tax growth in that area. And as people know, there's a lot of sales tax in that area, right? The problem is it's indexed, the growth in that district is indexed to the growth in Shelby County. And when there's positive growth in that district compared to overall Shelby County, there is money that is generated within the tourism development zone. The problem is that this past fiscal year, there was no money generated in the tourism development zone. The growth in that area, which is a really business hopping area, you know, in terms of people going out to eat, et cetera, did not outstrip Shelby County. And so the city of Memphis, instead of having, last year they got $600,000 in growth for a $2.4 million debt payment, this year the city of Memphis is essentially using reserve funds to cover a $3.5 million debt payment because they didn't get any growth out of this tourism development zone.
So there was growth. There was just not any growth that was more significant than the growth in Shelby County.
Exactly, yes.
Now, there are future plans of what could happen at Liberty Park, which might hopefully increase the tax revenues. And you've written about that before. That gets us to High Five, for example, right?
Right. Yeah. So the city of Memphis wants to put, as this is publicly owned land, that they have now, the city council has voted on these leases so that they can be executed. You know, to put a hotel, a small boutique hotel there, about 200 apartments, and a event facility known as High Five, which is laser tag, bowling. I think there's some axe throwing involved. I think some putt-putt mini golf, so I can work on my shoddy putting. That's the plan. I mean, what comes with that, however, Jeff, is like, if this all comes to pass, it happens in 2026, you're still going to have two more years of debt payments, where the city of Memphis is going to be looking at that broader area for growth, if not more taxpayer dollars, you know, in addition to the $100 million that are going to have to be spent, are going towards paying off the debt at Memphis Sports and Events Center.
It feels like, and you cover this on the granular basis, and I only look at it from purely from the outside perspective, it feels like we're always chasing our tails. Like, we're trying to pay off the convention center, which may or may not have been a good idea. Then we have to do the hotel because we're playing off the convention center. Now we have to do laser tag because we have to pay off the Liberty Park, which may have not been a good idea. I don't know. That's me editorializing. It seems like, I guess, if you don't hit slam dunk, if you're not hitting grand slam projects, then you're always trying to pay off the project that's kind of just muddling along. Is that? It's not very trenchant analysis, but is it fair?
To an extent, you know, to the extent that I'll engage with it, yeah. There's some fairness there. I think what I would say, right, is like, cities across the country, not just Memphis, I want to make sure, in cities in Tennessee do this. You know, when you hitch something to growth and sales tax, okay?
Yep.
When you say we are going to pay for this as a municipality with growth and sales tax, it's an interesting bet you're making. And particularly if you're trying to capture an increment of sales tax, and I'm getting back in the weeds here, it really helps to start at the bottom, right? Just like buying a stock. Like, if you're trying to capture growth, it'd be great if there was zero before that. Instead, the city of Memphis built this project in the case of Liberty Park into a very mature area.
Cooper Young has already happened. Overton Square has already happened. Broad Avenue. And you need additional growth on top of that.
Exactly. You need growth on top of that. And so, like, if you would say, and this was in the planning stages, you know, back in the mid-aughts, right? Like, when I was, you know, a little kid who'd never really heard of Memphis, like, this was in the planning stages for a long time. If that happens in, say, the mid-aughts, and you capture all that growth that happens after that, this thing's going gangbusters. It's just the victim of timing.
I see.
Right? And you know, it also happens to go into service, you know, in a pretty inflationary environment, right? And so, like, all of that happened. Like, you went from years of no inflation to now inflation. That definitely, in fact, it impacts this in terms of growth. But anyway, I digress.
I like your ability to take my amorphous meanderings and actually make sense of them. And so I appreciate that. And I also appreciate that your Bruins are kind of muddling along with my Buffalo Sabres. Well, I appreciate that as well. Although I was sorry for your dad that the Yankees didn't triumph.
Well, thank you for that again.
How's he taking it?
He has thrown himself into college basketball season as a Purdue alumnus and a University of Rhode Island season ticket holder. I think that's how he's processing right now. He's just deep in college basketball. The Rhode Island Rams basketball under Archie Miller has not been very good.
But he's a Purdue alumnus. Is he a big Zach Edey guy?
He is a big Zach Edey guy. His level of interest in Zach Edey, the Grizzly, has been disappointing to me. I'm going to put that out there on the radio a little. You know, he just hasn't been as engaged in Zach Edey's professional career as I would like. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
Sam, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Sam Hardiman from the Daily Memphian. You're aware, Jeffrey, that typically the cliche for newsrooms on election night is to have pizza. So a little bit of a change up to change that to tacos. Do you prefer pizza or tacos?
Depends where each is from.
Is that true?
Yeah, probably pizza.
I think
if you put a pizza or a taco in front of me, I think I'll probably go pizza.
I think I would, too. I like them both, though.
Yes.
Win-win.
I'm not going to be upset if the pizza's gone.
All right. If you are thinking of getting engaged this holiday season, congratulations, by the way. I'm glad you found your person. Now you got to go find the ring. I did this once, and I went and I got a friend of a friend who hooked me up with a friend of a friend, and I bought a ring. And the ring, when we took in to get appraised, it was not worth what I paid for it. That was a shocker, but that was a little humiliating too, because she was there. You know, Julia was there with me, and they're like, "Yeah, no, sorry, this." Go to Robert Irwin Jewelers. Go to Robert Irwin Jewelers. They will walk you through it. They can create anything, come in with an idea or a photo. This is a perfect time to do it during the holiday seasons. And they've got the meant-to-be guarantee. The meant-to-be guarantee, in that situation, you have 365 days to return it for any reason. They make designing, coming up with an engagement ring easy, risk-free with their meant-to-be guarantee. Plus, then you got all the other stuff. Free ring sizing for life, free jewelry spa service for life. That means tightening, buffing, polishing, ultrasonic cleaning, etc., etc. They've got great financing options, 24 months deferred interest, or take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. And as Jeffrey will attest, they make buying one of the most important purchases of your life a delight, a pleasure. It is Robert Irwin Jewelers. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. They've got convenient locations all over Memphis. I go to the one right across from Novel on Perkins Extended. You can find the one closest to you, rijewelers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. NFL tomorrow night, Bengals at Ravens over at FanDuel. You can get in on the action if you're a new customer. And you win a measly $5 bet, you get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. As we were discussing earlier, that is a tasty, tasty game. And so I just take the over on everything as you build your same game parlay there. You got a woeful secondary for the Ravens and a woeful defense for the Bengals. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to make every moment more. FanDuel is, of course, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, present to see. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Did you see we got a bracketology out, Jeffrey?
We did. Joey Brackets put one out on Monday before hoops started.
We got a bracketology out, and Memphis, 10 seed.
Yep.
Playing Michigan State in Wichita. Signing up for that right now?
I still think they can be a little better.
Now, what that does reflect is that one bid lead.
Exactly.
They're the only AAC team, and and so that's what that reflects. But it's nice to be looking at bracketology again. By the way, the game against UNLV is on the Mountain West Network.
Yes, of course, Jeffrey, as everyone knows.
This world that we've created, man, got to go searching for games. You can download the app, though, evidently, and watch it like all over the place.
Yeah, I believe you can stream it for free.
For free.
Yeah.
Yes, that is my understanding. What is coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Norton Herd will join the guys at 125. Kevin Cerrito will join me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. CJ Hurt will join us during hour number two. David Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back tomorrow. For now, our work's done.